I'm very pleased to welcome back to the Great Catalpa Escape podcast series, episode 9. And welcome all of our listeners, but more particularly Margot O'Byrne. Welcome back to episode 9, Margot.
Oh, thank you, Michael. It's lovely to be back.
It's amazing, all of these events happening 150-odd years ago. The whole magnitude of this escape. Just to remind our listeners, it starts out in a very practical way in sort of New York, but particularly New Bedford down there in Massachusetts. The whaler, the Catalpa, is found. Captain Anthony's sailing it across the sea. He's got his more or less hand-chosen crew, people who know how to whale and who think they're going whaling, a couple of people who actually get to know what's happening. He's rejected some people. There was a fellow called Brennan that some of the people in New York wanted on the boat, but he didn't. Anyway, the Catalpa was sailing to Fremantle, and Breslin, who's been picked on his own to be the man on the ground here in Frio, as well as his offsider, going under the name of Mr. Johnson, it's all happening. And suddenly, we're told at the end of the last episode, the word comes through to the telegraph office here in Fremantle, the Catalpa has arrived. It's arrived in Bunbury. What excitement. But Margot, I started off mentioning the travel to the Catalpa and Captain Anthony and his crew, because they're eventually, using the maps that they picked up along the way, arriving at Bunbury. Do we know anything about what they were doing, seeing, thinking as they approached?
Yes, Michael, that's a good question. So the Catalpa sighted land, the south coast of Western Australia, on the 27th of March in 1876. And as soon as the ship had picked up, as you said, some charts and so on from the Ocean Beauty that they met south of South Africa. But as far as we know, that was pretty much the last encounter they'd had with anyone. And as they were approaching the land, but remember back there when they met the Ocean Beauty, some of the crew chatted to the crew of the Ocean Beauty, as they did when they met up in the middle of the ocean. And they were convinced that they were heading for New Zealand. So when they spied the land down here on the southwest, it was actually Cape Naturalist. Anton Farnham, who was the second mate, said he recognised it as New Zealand.
Pretty good.
Which must have made Captain Anthony feel pretty good.
or worried, Margaret.
Or worried, one or the other. But we can imagine that Anthony felt both exhilaration at finally landing and finding Australia, but also trepidation about the enormous undertaking that he was about to happen.
Now, the thing I've never quite got my head around, again, going back, New Bedford, Captain Anthony's chosen, his father-in-law sort of gets him into the job. Everyone's got great trust and hope and faith in him. But does he know that he's going to be meeting someone wearing a red hat, or does he have somebody's name like Breslin or Collins or anything?
No, well, there appears to have been no communication. Well, of course, there wouldn't have been communication. They wouldn't have wanted to any message to be intercepted on the way to Anthony. He was out whaling, as far as everyone was concerned. So he came here, landed in Western Australia with enormous amounts of trust and just believed that someone would come and recognise him, I guess, when he came in.
I can remember going on holidays where family, friends who I'd never met, be it whatever country in the world, some of them Irish, actually, in Cork, and arrangements are made, but you've never seen these people, you haven't had any communications with them, rough ideas, and you don't know whether they'll be there. I mean, in this case, the operatives might have been nabbed. They might have been, unclothed. They might have been in the establishment.
Absolutely. And so what Captain Anthony did when he first arrived in Bunbury is that he thought, Well, maybe there'll be someone there to meet him. So he walked around the streets of Bunbury. So at first glance, he described Bunbury as a relatively neat provincial settlement, with several government buildings, a few commercial enterprises, shops, a shipwright, and public bars and hotels. And he decided that he would just take a small hand-picked crew and row into to the centre of the town, to the near the jetty, and then walk around hoping that someone would reveal themselves.
I mean, how did it happen in those days? I mean, if the catalpa pulls up, I mean, was there a jetty to pull alongside? Did they drop anchor? Is there the sort of the harbour master who comes out and waves a flag and welcomes you?
Well, it was the water police, actually. So the water police rowed out from Bunbury Harbour to the catalpa. And they would have boarded it. Remember back in a previous episode, we found that down in Albany, they actually went out to the ships to make sure that there wasn't any sickness or disease. And if there was, then they would quarantine them. So I guess that was part of their reason for going out. And they clambered on, these water police clambered on board and welcomed them to the colony of Western Australia, which must have been a bit of a shock to the second mate.
Well, a nice thing, and so then Anthony takes some of his crew in the boat, and they head into Bunbury, and as you say, they found it a neat little town. And what happened?
So we remember. So Breslin had been down in Bunbury in the last episode. Breslin had been waiting for the catalpa, had gone to Bunbury in the hope of meeting it, but then remember he pretty much ran out of money, came back to Fremantle, met up with his mate King, who brought all the gold over from the East Coast, and Breslin was back in Fremantle at this stage.
You couldn't make this story up if you tried, could you?
I
I mean,
know, I know.
everything works the right way. So he's been down to Bunbury. He was hoping the catalpa would come in. He'd meet Anthony, and all would be good. He's gone back. So he's back in Frio. So how do they get the word to each other? Assuming they do.
So Anthony walks around the first day and then comes back to the ship very disappointed. Imagine you've sailed all the way from New Bedford, you get there, and where's the welcoming committee, Michael? No one
Just the
at
water police.
the airport to meet you. So he discussed the matter with his first mate, Sam Smith. Remember Sam Smith and
Yes.
the carpenter, only two people on the ship who knew anything about this. And Sam agreed. He seemed like a pretty level-headed guy, and he said, "Look, there's nothing to do but to wait. They'll find us." And of course, we know from the last episode here that Breslin had seen in the telegraph office here in Fremantle that the catalpa had arrived.
Oh, now something's telling me. I mean, you can't send an email or a telex, but you can probably send in those days, you could. They had these communications. You could send a telegram. Presumably, you could send a telegram to the catalpa, in a sense.
Well, he sent it to, yes, you may remember, Michael, as I do, the days of telegram boys,
Yes.
the young guys who came around to your house with a telegram, which was how messages of importance were conveyed.
They were.
Yeah. So as the next morning, Captain Anthony's getting out to walk along the jetty. The catalpa's tied up to the jetty by this stage. And a young fellow approaches him and says, "Are you Captain Anthony?" And he has a telegram for him.
Wow, do we know what the telegram said?
We
I mean, I
do
can guess,
indeed.
but do we actually know?
Yes, it said to Captain Anthony, "Have you any news from New Bedford? When can you come to Fremantle? J. Collins."
Well, what an interesting telegram. Leaving aside anything that it says in it, contact is made.
Contacts made.
And New Bedford, there's understanding, J. Collins, whoever that is, he may or may not have had his name. Do you think he knew the name
I
Collins?
think Devoy would have they would have chosen the alias of Mr. Collins before Devoy actually chose Breslin.
So what is our Captain Anthony doing?
So Captain Anthony walks straight to the telegraph office, and the building that was the telegraph office in Bunbury is still there. It's
Wow.
yes, it's a National Trust site, and it's a wonderful building that's still there that you can go and see. And so Anthony immediately telegraphs back and says, "No news from New Bedford. Shall not come to Fremantle. G.S. Anthony."
Why does he say that?
Obviously, the New Bedford was some code to each other that, I know who you are, you know who I am. And he's telling him, "I'm not coming to Fremantle, so that's code, come down here."
So presumably that's what Collins Breslin does. But what does Anthony do? Does he row back out to his boat?
No, well, he decided that he'd take a room in a local hotel and wait. So I think often ship's captains did take a room in a hotel, get away from the crew for a while.
Well, not only that, but you'd want to have a couple of decent ales. They might even have some wine. They were trying to make, or they had been making wine in the Swan Valley in those days, and you probably want a decent feed of fresh meat and veg,
I'd
Margaret.
say so, and possibly a good bath.
And a good bath, yes. So, do we know where he holed up?
He held up. Now, when as we know that he and Collins later stayed at Spencer's Hotel, which is now called the Wellington Hotel in Bunbury.
So we assume that that's exactly where Anthony went in the first instance.
Correct. So, but first he went to purchase some meat for the ship, and met up with a butcher called David Hay. Now, when this David Hay heard his American accent, he told him of another American gentleman of great wealth who'd been prospecting in the locality. And the butcher declared that that gentleman was the finest man he'd ever met.
Wonder who that could possibly have been.
So Captain Anthony did ask that. He said, what was the gentleman's name? And was told that it was Mr. Collins.
It's so precious, this. So I'm assuming hot footing it down to Fremantle is Breslin.
He is indeed. So he jumps on the mail coach, which I believe in those days took about 20 hours to get to Bunbury from Fremantle. And it rolled into Bunbury the next afternoon. And as it turned out, Anthony was again in the Hayes store. And as the passengers got off the coach, the butcher exclaimed, "Well, that's the very man I was telling you about." He said, "Come up to Spencer's Hotel and I'll introduce you."
Oh my goodness. Well, nice man, Mr. Hay. I mean, this colony back then, it's only, 40 odd years old. It's people everywhere. They've all got their trades. Things are happening in Bunbury. It was the port, good place to pull in. So they met. Do we know anything about their meeting?
Okay, so the butcher and the ship's captain then walked together to Spencer's Hotel, and it was the butcher who introduced Anthony to Mr. Collins. Now, in a local community where everyone gossips, that would have been just like, manna from heaven for Anthony.
Well, to Americans. And I wonder if anyone mentioned J.B. O'Reilly.
Not at all. Not at all. So,
Americans were pretty well known. New Bedford was known, a whaling nation, and the whales still go up and down our west coast, down around Bunbury.
they do indeed, yeah. So, I mean, really, you couldn't. We have to remind our listeners that this is, in fact, history and it is not fiction, because at this stage they might be wondering, Michael.
Well, these guys, they've got David Hay there, they're chatting, a lot of glad handing. Everyone wants to hear their American accents as they are around. But those two, Captain Anthony and John Breslin, they need to find a quiet spot to have a yarn. And I'm assuming they
Okay.
do.
Well, they do, but what's amazing to me is that they spent hours just chatting with each other as if they had only just met. And they really kept up the whole subterfuge that was going on. They were playing to the colonial audience, for sure. They took supper together, and it was only after supper that Collins ordered cigars, as you would expect a man of Collins's dignity to do. And then he suggested that they take a stroll on the jetty.
Well, Well, out on the jetty. And the walk on the jetty, what happens?
So in those days, the jetty was the Long Pile Wharf, so probably built out of Jarrah. And there was a sentry box at the head of the jetty because obviously they needed someone to guard against smuggling, which always went on around boats in those days and may still do, we don't know. And once they got strolled out of earshot of the town and the sentry guard and everything, then Anthony just Breslin grabbed Anthony's hand and just shook it so heartily and asked him how he was and how things were going. And they both then could actually express to each other their fears that Anthony was afraid that something had happened to Breslin. Breslin was afraid that the ship had gone down at sea or Anthony had given up or any of the above. So then it was only then, and of course, very quickly, the conversation turned to the plans for the rescue.
So just remind our listeners the date at this point. Where are we?
So we are now, remember, it was the 28th of March that that Catalpa arrived. So it is the Breslin got the news late on the 28th. So this would be the 30th of March, 30th or 31st of March.
So it's a really nice time for our listeners in different parts of the world. It's sort of late summer here. The sun can be shining. You can get the occasional storm coming through, I suppose. There might be one later today. Who knows? But now they're down to the real business, though. How are we going to be doing this? What are the challenges? Do they must, Anthony wants to know. I mean, he has to carry out the escape.
And he has to get his head around what the situation is on the ground, what's happening, where the prisoners are, how they're. So Breslin tells him about the conditions of the prisoners. He tells him that he's had contact with the prisoners and how that they're locked away each night under heavy guard, so that the only hope of rescue is during the daytime when they're out in the working parties. He also tells Anthony that he scouted out a possible beach site where Anthony can bring in a whaleboat, which is near Rockingham, 20 miles south of Fremantle, which is accessible by horse and cart. And to execute the escape, that he Breslin thinks that Captain Anthony should actually stay on the Catalpa himself and send a crew in on the whaleboat. And that the whaleboat, that the Catalpa should be anchored some 12 miles out to sea, and then it wouldn't attract any attention at all.
Also beyond international waters or international waters.
Yes.
It's really interesting. I've tried to think about what the options would have been. I mean, you've got the Fenians who are under lock and key. They're out for short times in the day. You can't take them off on a school picnic down to Bunbury to enter onto the wharf and climb onto Catalpa and head off. You can't do anything like that. It has to be done in a secret place, reasonably accessible to Fremantle. In a sense, in the dead of day or the dead of night, and it has to be done pretty swiftly. Well, presumably Breslin wants to get Anthony up to Freo to see exactly where this is all going to happen.
Yes, he does. So he proposes that the Georgette, which we've met before, it's ploughing its way between Albany, stops in at Bunbury, and comes up to Fremantle with the mail and various trading goods. So it's due in Bunbury the next morning, which is the 1st of April. And if plans work out, they hope that they can go. Breslin can take Anthony up on the Georgette. Anthony can have a look. He can come back down on the mail coach, and then they'll be ready to take the prisoners off on the 6th of April. That's their plan.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? You'd think that perhaps Anthony was a little bit nervous about just going up to Perth, Fremantle, separately like that and leaving his ship behind. Why didn't they sail the ship up and weigh anchor and be close at hand? Would not there be some suspicion cast upon Anthony, the captain of the whaler, turning up?
There would have been more suspicion if he had brought the Catalpa to Fremantle. Remember, a lot of whaling ships came in to Bunbury and then went off, reprovisioned in Bunbury and went off from there back to the whaling grounds. So that was the normal pattern of events. To bring a ship up to Fremantle, first of all, you've got all the authorities here and the pensioner guard and so on. But also, why would a whaling ship be coming to Fremantle? That it would have raised alarm.
Makes sense. And it also makes sense as you explain that Captain Anthony, having come this way, important person on a whaler, people like greeting visitors to the state, that he would go up to Perth to see the colonial settlement and get a
Correct.
feel for what's happening, and probably expecting to meet anybody important while he's up there.
Well, he's met this wonderful fellow American, and they're just,
Give a show him
fellow
around.
countrymen having a nice moment together, really, aren't they?
Yeah. So does Breslin get to see the Catalpa itself?
He does. Yes, Anthony takes him on to the Catalpa and introduces him to the first mate, Sam Smith, and. Although we don't have any record of Breslin meeting Duggan, remember Duggan's the Irish carpenter, I can't imagine that he wouldn't have at least had a moment to say hello to him because Duggan and Breslin actually knew each other from Dublin.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Running into someone from another part of your life, although he was aware he was on the boat. So, what about, I mean, they got even more particular. They started to work out when would be a good time to execute the plan.
Yes, they thought they so this was the 1st of April. They thought, okay, trip up to Fremantle. Anthony gets the lay of the coast, gets to understand the currents, etc. Gets back down to Bunbury and then ready to go. And they were going to allow him 2 days from the time he left Bunbury to get to in get the it, up off the coast of Rockingham and then the whaleboat into Rockingham.
Well, here we are. We're at Bunbury. The Georgette's come in. They're about to get on the Georgette, head up to Perth. Sounds like a nice sort of April Fool's type journey. Little
Of
bit of
course.
coastal steaming.
But then the big April Fool joke was played, wasn't it? Because Captain Anthony is walking away from the Catalpa, heading up towards the Georgette, and who should he find on the jetty in Bunbury but Thomas Brennan?
Well, is that the same fellow I mentioned earlier that Captain Anthony refused to have on board when they were back in New Bedford, didn't want him part of his
Yes,
crew?
that's the very one, Michael. So
The
back
same one
against.
who went off to chase them and landed in the Azores and missed them.
That's right. Back in episode 4 and 5, we encountered Thomas Brennan. First, he was a member of Clan na Gael, and he was in the group in Clan na Gael that was supported by the lawyer John Gough. And Gough wanted to send Brennan as the crew member on the expedition. And remember, Anthony refused because he said the Irish were not. A whaling nation. They were not known as whaling crew. So if he had more than one, it would be suspicious. And he refused to take Brennan, basically because he didn't trust him very much. But no, Brennan followed them to the Azores. And remember, they knew that he was coming in when they were leaving Fayal. And I think it was Duggan who actually warned Captain Anthony, and the boat took off so they wouldn't encounter Brennan. So,
He must have been a very objectionable sort of personality, Tom Brennan, but. And I know a really lovely Tom Brennan, of good Irish descent in Australia, but he, you've got Brennan, very determined. How did he get to Fremantle?
okay, so Brennan, he feels like he's one of those absolute pick me, pick me, pick me sort of characters, you know. So he escaped from the Azores by offering the captain of a fruit steamer, the Selborne. He offered him the sum of £50 to take him from Fayal to Liverpool, and the captain refused. He didn't accept it. So Brennan stowed away
Oh my
on
goodness.
that ship. And presented himself once they were at sea. So the captain immediately imprisoned him. He believed that he was some sort of criminal, and he declared that he'd hand him over to the authorities once they reached Liverpool.
Well, Brennan was in trouble.
He was, because this is very serious. Brennan had was carrying quite a sum of money, and that would immediately make him suspicious. And of course, he couldn't afford any delay, or he'd miss out on the Catalpa rescue, wouldn't he?
Well, yes, exactly. He needed to get here as quickly as he could. So, does he get to Liverpool?
He gets to Liverpool, and once they dock in Liverpool, the captain calls the police. But so Brennan decides to avoid it. He jumps overboard and he starts to try and swim to shore, and he's nearly exhausted when he's picked up by a rowboat, and fortunately for him, landed in somewhere else in Liverpool. And then he gets away and proceeds to London, and from there takes the steamer to King George Sound.
Which we know as Albany
That's
today,
right.
and he arrives there when?
In March, so he
So
arrives there.
just before all of this is happening.
Correct. So he arrived. We don't know how many days he waited for the Georgette, but then he boarded the Georgette and is coming up to Fremantle. But of course, when he saw the Catalpa in Bunbury, he
Unbelievable.
decided he'd get off.
You can't imagine something more coincidental in
I
the
just.
context of the whole planet than Brennan being on the paid up fellow on the Georgette halfway from Albany to Fremantle, and he runs into all of these operatives. Unbelievable.
So it would have been so because Brennan might not have recognised Breslin. He may not, never have met Breslin, but he certainly recognised Captain Anthony. So Captain Anthony obviously warned Breslin, and Breslin said, "Look, he's here now. We can't afford for him to leave him here and be discontent and, start blabbering. So we have to take him with us to Fremantle, but he's to stay." A complete stranger to us on board the Georgette.
Amazing, isn't it? I mean, poor old Breslin thought it was going to be him and his mate Johnson who were going to get everybody out. And suddenly we've got the others arriving from Ireland. We've got Brennan turning up. We've got, oh, this is becoming complicated. People think
Well,
escapes are easy, but these are hard things.
they're hard, and I think the presence of each new person would have added another level of complexity for Breslin.
So you've got the captain of the Georgette. I mean, it must have a fascinating time going up and down the coast, meeting all of these oddbods.
I'm sure he did on this. So the captain of the Georgette was Mick O'Grady, an Irishman from Limerick,
Probably
and
known for short as Mico.
quite possibly. Quite possibly. So of course the two sea captains, they immediately strike up a friendship. Captain O'Grady invites Captain Anthony in, asks him all about the whaling journey, invites him into the wheelhouse. And of course, Anthony's very interested in all the currents and the way that the winds work on this part of the coast and the tides, and he's especially interested when they get to Garden Island and to Rottnest Island.
He's probably thinking he'd create a submarine base on the southern end of Garden Island or something like it.
Possibly, he's the advanced American envoy, isn't he?
So, Margot, one thing I'm always fascinated about when I walk around Fremantle is I try to remove from the front of my eyes the modern buildings and imagine how Fremantle was then. Can you imagine coming in the Georgette? We didn't have Fremantle Port as it was created by C.Y. O'Connor in the late 19th century. You had to pull up and weigh your anchor or get off at the Long Jetty or whatever. But what would you have seen when you pull into Fremantle?
Well, you would have seen the commissariat building, so the building that's now the Shipwreck Museum,
Yes, the end
that
of
was
Bridge
there,
Street, right
yes,
on the water edge.
right on the water's edge. You would have seen the roundhouse, of course,
Yes.
and you would have seen a number of the merchant build, the grid of High Street and Cliff Street and Mowat Street, all that street grid down there in the West End would have been quite operative. You would have had sh probably shipbuilding facilities around where Cadogo is now, and possibly Cicerello. So, there would have been a bit of marine
Yeah.
activity down around the jetty.
And as we commented last time, I'm sure Gino's coffee shop in the centre of Fremantle would have been there at the time.
Michael, I can remember when Gino's arrived.
But all the other ships, anybody visiting the port that's tied up here or anchored there, you'd see everybody and have a look around. You mightn't see any submarines, but what might you have seen?
Well, unfortunately for Breslin and Anthony, their jaws must have completely dropped as the Georgette pulled up to the long jetty in Fremantle, because there was Her Majesty's gunboat Conflict anchored.
Conflict. Anchor. What's the conflict?
The Conflict is a Beagle class schooner. She's about 23 meters long. And most importantly, she has two large guns on her deck, and she's carrying at least 30 men. Now, these
Wow.
weren't the pensioner guards, these were proper trained military men.
Oh my goodness. And why was she in Frio?
Well, she was previously used as used to first of all deployed to go into Sydney, and she worked in the South Pacific, patrolling anti-slavery operations in the South Pacific. And then here she would come and do a regular visit to Fremantle Port, and then go on from here to Albany, and then from there to Adelaide. So it was a kind of show of strength, you might say.
Yeah. Just like we have different navies these days patrolling the waters off Australia. So, all right. So they take a deep breath, think to themselves, what are we going to do about this ship? Presumably, they don't want to be trying to escape if this sleek-looking 30-manned, two-gunned ship, the Conflict, could chase them and shoot them down.
Correct.
So they might want to rethink the 6th of April. At least keep an eye on the
They
conflict.
absolutely. So they on so Breslin takes Anthony back to the Emerald Isle Hotel. Thomas Breslin goes off.
Wonder if she meets Mary Tondut.
Well, we don't know that Breslin introduced Anthony to Mary Tondut or told him anything about Mary Tondut. We have no. As often, women get written out. The story of the women gets written out of history, Michael. So,
Well, if that got reported back to New Bedford and New York and Davoy, he might have been in a spot of bother.
he might have been, yes.
So they arrive in Freo, they go
So
to the
Thomas,
Emerald. Yeah, they go to the Emerald.
they
Oh,
go to the Emerald Isle, and Breslin sends a message to Thomas Desmond to come down, and then he sends Thomas Desmond down to the wharf.
Desmond,
To
who goes around under the name of Johnson.
correct the
And what
wheel
about
knight.
King? John King.
Well, we don't, John King's there with them, but he sent for some reason he sends Desmond down. Desmond finds out then that it's here, that the conflict is here in Fremantle on its annual visit, and it's likely to remain for a week or so, after which it will proceed to Adelaide and Sydney.
Well, so they've got some good intelligence. They've got their little team around them. I wonder if they get to meet Walsh and his mate.
We don't have any evidence of that, possibly, but I would think that Breslin would be trying to manage the crowds at this stage.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, did Desmond come up with any other useful information?
Yes, he found out that there was another gunboat that was expected in Fremantle, and that was one to come and take Governor Robinson up to visit the Northwest.
Well, this is all a bit complicated. Boats coming from everywhere, gunboats. The Governor of Western Australia, Governor Robinson, who's got a few things named after him around Perth metropolitan area these days. So they needed to get deadly serious, trying not to misuse the word deadly, for the escape.
That's right. They knew that the window of opportunity there for the rescue had to be once the conflict had left and before the other gunboat arrived.
Oh,
So
goodness.
right now it needed to be put off. It definitely wasn't going to happen on the 6th.
So you'd mentioned earlier that Anthony had told or sorry, been told by Breslin about the plan to spirit the Fenians in a longboat from near Rockingham out to international waters onto the Catalpa. So does he take him down to show him to see where
He
it's going to be?
does. He decides that, they have time now. So he will take him down. So they hire a horse and trap, and Breslin and King and Anthony go down along the road, the first well made and then a sandy track to the beach. They get to the beach, and Captain Anthony looks out to the south, the point inlet that comes in there, the south of Garden Island and the north of Cape Perrin. And Anthony finds a place on the beach. He picks up a piece of plank of wood and jams it into the sand above the high water mark. And he says, and we have his words, "Let it be understood that this is the place where I will meet you with my boat if God spares my life."
Oh my goodness. Well, these are sort of historic utterances, Margot. Oh golly. So after that, Anthony needs to get back to the Catalpa at some point. Does he go straight back, or what else happens?
Well, they then that night they decide that they will work out a code. So the code is the telegraph code between the two of them, Breslin and Anthony,
You mean
and that
secret words that have meaning?
correct. That's right. So if the gunboat when the gunboat sailed, Breslin decided that he would advise Anthony, "Your friend N or S, meaning north or south, has gone home. When do you sail?" So that would be the message to Anthony.
Indicating that the gunboat's gone this way or that.
Correct,
Okay.
yeah, and that it's okay to sail from Bunbury. And in the if the other gunboat arrived to take up the governor north, Breslin would telegraph, "Jones has gone to Champion Bay. Did not receive a letter from you."
Meaning everything's good again, but it's gone in that direction.
Correct.
And then what was going to happen?
So they plan. The plan was that 48 hours after the gunboat left Fremantle, Anthony would have the Catalpa off the coast and the whaleboat onto the beach in Rockingham.
So there's a little bit of, in a sense, margin for error, but to put it another way, it's a little bit of room for the whale boat to be sitting on the beach at Rockingham for a little while.
Yes, that's correct. And the distance between Bunbury and Rockingham was 100 miles, and any combination of headwinds or tides or misadventure or whatever could change that.
Well, so many things. We haven't even talked about the crew and what they've been doing on the Catalpa, finding out what pleasures Bunbury has to offer, I imagine. But back to Anthony, still in Perth. Does he get to see the sights?
Well, the plot thickens. On Monday, the 3rd of April, Breslin and Anthony and a party of merchants receive an invite to attend dinner at the residence of the governor. Now, Anthony doesn't want a bar of this, but Breslin explains to him that if he was to, refuse this, that it would arouse suspicion, so he has no choice but to accept. When
Golly.
they were about to be seated at the table, and Anthony was alarmed when an official placed his hand on Captain Anthony's arm and asked, "Excuse me, sir, what is your name and business, and what are you doing here?"
Whereupon he pulls out a revolver and shoots him dead. No, he
He
doesn't.
doesn't. He stops dead in his tracks, thinking he'd been uncovered, until Breslin stepped in with his charm and explained that this was a custom in this country.
So the night is fine. It's passed off. I'd love to know who the merchants were who were attending that night. Who might be?
Often wonder if it might have been, some of the Samson crew, really.
Well, I
Well,
think so. And
yes.
by that stage, the Moore family were also big merchants around the place.
Correct.
But
Remember, Breslin had made himself, he'd
he knew
endeared himself
everyone.
to the merchants,
He knew
yeah.
everyone that mattered. So when does Antony actually get away from all of this socializing and back to the Catalpa?
Okay, so it's the 6th of April, which was originally the date that they were planning on the escape. Anthony returns to Bunbury on the mail coach, and is carrying with him £250 in gold, which Breslin has given him to square up any expenses for the Catalpa.
Oh, thank goodness for King, thank goodness for all that money, thank goodness for all the planning, and good luck to happenstance. Things are falling into place. And what Brennan up to at this point?
Brennan, yes, well, we don't know really. Brennan's probably hiding low in the Port Hotel or one of the hotels in Fremantle. They've
Particularly he doesn't.
possibly given McCarthy and Walsh the job of keeping Brennan quiet, I would imagine.
Well, so Antony gets back down there, and I'm just wondering, do we know what the crew were up to down there?
Well, they weren't very happy. No, they were pretty discontent. Their shore leave was restricted because the captain didn't want anyone deserting the ship. And so that, of course, sailors in port want to go into port and enjoy all that the port has to offer. And they continued to refit and refurbish the Catalpa. But in preparation, of course, for their trip to New Zealand, that's what the crew thought. So then at noon on the 11th of April, a telegram arrived which read, "Your friend S has gone home. When do you sail, J. Collins?"
So the conflict has travelled south on its way around to Albany and Adelaide.
Correct.
So what happens?
So Captain Anthony cleared his vessel from the customs house, but as he went to the telegraph office to send the message to Breslin, he received word that the Catalpa had been seized by the customs officers.
Golly. I
So
mean,
he quickly went back to the ship and found out that, this is lovely colonial bureaucracy going on here, Michael. He found out that he had violated the law by taking a barrel of pork onto the ship after the ship had been cleared.
well, that's a no-no. Everybody knows that's a no-no, Marco. And
Absolutely.
taking barrels of pork onto a ship after customs clearance has been given. What
So
were they
forget the
thinking?
Catalpa escape. We're dealing with pork put on after clearance.
Well, presumably it got resolved.
It did, but then it was too late to sail. So on Wednesday the 12th, Captain Anthony again sent a telegraph, and he said, "I'll sail today. Goodbye. Answer if you receive. G.S. Anthony." And back came the reply, "Your telegram received. Friday, being Good Friday, I shall remain in Fremantle and leave for York on Saturday morning. I wish you may strike oil. Answer if received. J. Collins."
So there's a little bit of stuff in there. He's not about to leave for York, is he? Surely not.
That's code. That's his code. I'll see you in Rockingham.
Saturday morning, Easter morning.
Well, it's yes, because Anthony believed that well, once the prisoners would have been let out again on Saturday morning, but they certainly would have been locked away in their cells on Good Friday. So Sundays and holidays they were locked in the cells.
So the good thing is they're able to keep sending these telegrams to each other. Did Captain Anthony respond to that one?
He did. He said, "Yours received." So Anthony says, "Yours received. Did not leave today. Wind ahead and raining. Sail in the morning. Goodbye, G.S. Anthony."
So rainy weather. I mentioned storms can blow up any time. What happens?
Yes. Well, yet another delay occurred because a heavy storm came up. The extra anchors were necessary, but the whole length of chain was, and then the Catalpa dragged on the chain. And it was in danger of going onto the bar. So this was a real threat to them, and it was impossible to sail. So this Captain Anthony, now this must have been Good Friday. So Captain Anthony goes back again to the telegraph office, but he finds that it's closed on account of the holiday. So he hunted around for the operator and pleaded with her to send a message. Now, she told him that it'd be useless, there wouldn't be anyone there,
We
there's
know it at
no
the other
point.
end. Yeah,
But anyway, he must have been desperate enough or had enough gold in his hand to offer an incentive, because she did open up and sent the message. And his message to Breslin was, "It has blown heavy, ship dragged both anchors. Can you advance money if needed? We'll telegraph again in the morning, G.S. Anthony." So the telegraph operator waited, waited. You can imagine her, "Look, I told you there'd be no one there," sort of attitude. And finally, the click, click, click came through at the other end. And on Saturday morning, the 15th of April, Captain Anthony then finally telegraphed, "I shall
15th of April.
15th of April," he
Wow.
says, "I shall certainly sail today. Suppose you will leave for York Sunday morning. Goodbye, G.S. Anthony."
Well, you can only sort of half imagine what Breslin would have been doing, but he would have been on complete tenterhooks up here, wouldn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
Telling Mary what's happening and she comforting him and trying to calm his nerves. So did he reply?
He did. He said, "Your telegram received. All right. Glad you got off without damage. Au revoir, J. Collins."
So there it is. That's the 15th of April in the Saturday morning. Things are happening.
Yes.
And do we know that the Catalpa did slip away?
So that afternoon, the moderate breeze picked up from the southwest. The anchor was hoisted, and under full sail, Catalpa slipped away up the coast, bound for Rockingham.
Oh, Margot, I'm going to have to go and make myself a cup of tea at this point. Oh, 15th of April.
So remember, 48 hours later, the rescue needs to take place. That if their
It
plan
has to
goes
happen
according
on
to
the
plan.
Sunday. Lots to happen, listeners. Lots to happen. It's Easter. It's Easter in Perth and Fremantle. There are things happening. Governor Robinson is still here. All the hoity-toity, the women with their lovely frocks and bonnets, and people on bicycles and horses and walking and little dinghies. Oh, Margot, we'll have to promise our listeners that before long we'll bring them episode 10.
Yes, we will, Michael.
Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. It was great fun.